Listen and stream the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Good morning, Transbago. Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. My name is Govin, here with you all the way until 12 o'clock. As we say good morning to those listening to us on air, online, those in their vehicles, if you're at home or at the office, it's definitely a pleasure to be spending this time with you. We welcome you to Freedom 106.5 FM, thanking Satish Mahabir for the Morning Rumble, and you can join him tomorrow morning right here for another exciting edition. So we get started. It's just about a minute or so after 9 o'clock. We welcome you to the very special program and segment On the Pulse with Rajiv Dipti, and we've got a very special guest with us today. So firstly, of course, for those just joining us, Rajiv Dipti, of course, is the president of the Supermarkets Association of Trinidad and Tobago. He joins us each and every Wednesday here on Freedom 106.5 FM as we discuss pertinent issues on The Pulse. And today we're going to be speaking about nation building through social endeavors. And we've got a special guest, president of SEWA-TT, Revan Tilak Singh. So good morning, gentlemen. How are you all today?
Good morning, Govin. Good morning to all your listeners on Freedom 106.5. And it's clearly going to be another exciting edition, another informative edition of On the Pulse. And I look forward to this morning with Mr. Revan Tilak Singh. Good morning, Revan.
Good morning to Freedom and all its listeners. I was just so excited when Rajiv asked me to come on your show, because it's one of the programs that I listen to a lot. So.
Yeah, and you know, so for all our listeners this morning, Mr. Revan Tilak Singh is not only the president of SEWA-TT itself, a renowned non-governmental organization, he's also the director of Larissa Technology Solutions Limited. He's been an information and communication technology professional for a number of years, and he's also been a very vociferous and a very active community worker for the past 22 years. So, Revan, welcome again this morning. And, you know, can you tell us a little bit about SEWA-TT? What is the SEWA brand? Tell our listeners a little bit for anybody who has absolutely no idea what SEWA represents.
So, SEWA is a Sanskrit word that literally means selfless service, right? We started in 2013, so this year will be our 10th year since being registered, of actively looking at problems in Trinidad and Tobago and seeing how we could solve them through selfless service. So today's topic is nation building through social endeavors, right? And that is exactly what we have been doing. We have been focusing on taking the skills of our young professionals, of our retirees, of our the energy of the youth, putting that together and seeing how we could solve problems, passing on information from the elders in that whole process to the younger ones, training up the professionals, practicing and fixing little issues that we can within the resources that we have. So SEWA really means that selfless service. We're doing something for somebody else while we personally benefit and grow.
So is SEWA-TT the Trinidad and Tobago chapter of SEWA International?
Yes. So informally, SEWA International exists in maybe almost 40 countries now. We in Trinidad and Tobago started just about 10 years ago, but not formally, not in a formal relationship. There's no requirement for us to do a formal report, or they give direction in terms of you have to follow this rules or that rules. They give general principles, and the principles are do not discriminate, make sure everything you do is sustainable. We follow the sustainable development goals of the United Nations. And the guidance they give is all relating to broad principles like that. Ensure that whatever you do, that you don't use, if people give money to a particular project, it should be given to that project. And while there's some administrative costs, it shouldn't go beyond 5%. These are the guidelines that they give in order to carry the SEWA International. And they help us with training, and they help us with documentation and that type of thing. And then we get to also meet the other countries and see what they're doing and learn from each other. So that's basically the link. But Sewa Titi really is one of the few of the Sewa International organizations that work almost completely indigenous to Trinidad and the Caribbean. So the work that we do is almost exclusive. While we will support one or two other international projects, 99% of our work is related to Trinidad and the Caribbean.
And, you know, just to give our listeners a feel of what Sewa Titi is able to do, I remember in 2018 when I first took on the role of president of the Supermarket Association, in the great flood of October of that year, that Sewa Titi was really visible to me when we were looking for a response to mobilize to provide flood relief at the time. And Mr. Tilak Singh, I know that you all have put systems in place similar to what we've seen with the ODPM, but you guys do it on a voluntary basis and you all are able to mobilize a great deal of persons, relief, product. Tell us, how is it that you are able to keep up this robust framework and machinery?
Well, Trinidad and Tobago is really a nice place. For all the problems we have, right? We like a coil up spring, right? That just waiting to explode our young, energetic and energetic, experienced people who are just willing to do. It's just we haven't found a way to harness them, right? And that's what Sewa Titi is doing. We're finding a way. Yes, unlike we can provide you with transport or we can provide you with gas allowance and we don't pay because none of us are paid or anything like that. We use our own personal resources, but there are a lot of people who are willing, or if they can't physically do something, they will help somebody else with the resource who could physically do it. So it's just to find that that balance, one, being accountable. So, I mean, I was listening to the program before we spoke about accountability. If ever we have an app like that, COTT will be one of the first ones to join it. And show every project and every center how it is spent, right? So accountability is something that people know that they can get from us. We send out our annual reports every year. We put the value of what we do, what the beneficiaries are, and how efficient it was. So I mean, there's so many things that we could talk about with that. But one of the good things that are good examples of what is possible and how we were able to do something large was the vaccination, something which you were very much involved with the SCTT. I mean, you were president when we were doing some of the final reports with all the other organizations. While Sewa Titi was the center of the private mass vaccination program, and we were supplying vaccines to everyone else, we had a large overhead that a lot of the other sites didn't have to have. Our total cost per job was still under $30, right? While, which is not unreasonable, privately, the cost per job is $200 plus. And that is only because we got volunteers, right? We didn't pay anything in labor at all.
Right. And you know, that is something I recall between SATT and Sewa Titi. I think that the fully vaccinated would have been in the region of 150,000 persons plus.
Yeah. Well, between Sewa Titi and the Supermarkets Association, it was 150, but with all the mass private side, it was over 250,000. And this is one of the things that really attracted me with this topic of nation building through social endeavors, right? Here we had a supermarkets association, right, whose primary focus is on supermarkets and issues surrounding supermarkets, using that premise to vaccinate, and the fact that vaccines were only being given to a certain number of people to vaccinate their staff so that they could keep the supermarkets going and then focus on the elderly. I mean, I thought that was phenomenal, which is why Sewa just jumped on board and how we could and anyway we could assist, right? And then you had the Chambers of Commerce. These are business entities that will focus primarily on, at a time when the nation was in crisis, on everyone, right? And I just thought that was a really good example, because none of these groups said, look, let me vaccinate my people alone. They were from day one, they were willing to vaccinate everyone who wanted the vaccine. And there's always a debate about who won vaccine and who don't want vaccine. But the reality is, every vaccine that were made available to these business groups, especially the SATT, and I remember sending some of our volunteers there by that Price Club building and seeing the elderly being wheeled in wheelchairs and the Rotary Club providing 100 wheelchairs and we just pushing people up, going up the stairs. You know, those type of things is really what nation building is about through these social endeavors.
So, you know, going back to the say what TT philosophy of accountability and transparency, I think it's sort of fully evident when we saw last December the flooding that took place, that you all were the mobilization arm for the Joint Chambers.
Yeah. So the Joint Chambers had offered CWTT, they had given CWTT $250,000, and that is because they were seeing the work that we're doing, right? And that money was primarily assigned to bringing immediate relief to the flood victims. So CWTT had a program that we were working with several brands, the Subways, the KFCs, the Pizza Huts, who had volunteered thousands of meals on their own, the Maxi stores, Maritime. So there were so many groups, right? And we had our volunteers that were preparing meals. And, you know, when you're doing thousands, there's an expense. So, I mean, the average cost of the meal was $30. We did over 10,000 meals in 1 week, right? So you're looking at $300,000 there alone. The final figure was somewhere around 15,000 meals in total. But the fact that the chambers gave us that $250,000 timely, we were able to move from, let's say, trying to fight up at 1,000 and 2,000 meals to say, okay, we have the money, we could go on a large campaign, we could commit, we understand the public is under strain. If the public can't assist us at the level that we want to, we have this fallback. Now, we ended up not even using $70,000 good from what the chambers gave us. The rest of it came from the public. So now we had that excess money to tell the people who were on the boats, hey, what now? And all the fellas, all the propeller getting damaged, because you remember it's roads these boats are going on. We will handle your fuel. We will fix your propellers. Let me keep the boats on the water. But there are a lot of people who cannot come out of the house and they need medication, they need certain things, they're diabetic, they need insulin, and they were calling us. So we offered that and we catered for the fuel and a few propellers and that were damaged. And then there's another 10,000-15,000 into food packs. We were able to do health fairs. We were able to do so many things. And we're going to culminate at the end in just 1 week time where the entire fund is going to be used. We're going to provide 400 food packages for persons who, at the time we were able to give food packages, we already did some already. And of course, when you have a devastating flood, there's one food pack not going to support it. In fact, the reality is, even your $20,000 grant, you lose $200,000-$300,000 worth in items. So we are making sure and using out all the funds appropriately, making sure that the people get the money and the people get the resources that were given to them in a manner, and the right people get it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Tiloxing. We're going to go to a short break, and when we come back, we're going to hear more about CWTT and its nation-building efforts through its social outreach programs.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
And welcome back. Freedom 106.5 FM presents, of course, the program On The Pulse with Rajiv Dipti and special guest today from CWTT, Rivan Tiloxing.
Thank you, Govin. And we are in discussion here with our special guest this morning, Mr. Rivan Tiloxing, who is the president of CWTT. And for those of our listeners who are not familiar with CWTT, they are very much a reliable tentpole non-governmental organization that regularly and consistently engages in food drives, blood drives, and several social outreach initiatives that tend to benefit the public. And they do this on a voluntary basis. Mr. Tilak Singh, tell us, can you give us some of the challenges that present to you, not just in the service of giving of yourself and your volunteers, but also in working with some of these statutory bodies to provide relief to persons and society?
I think the major challenge is expectation of excellence, right? So I mean, we tend to build amongst our volunteers, look, you're volunteering to do something, but people depend on what you do, right? So everything you do is going to affect somebody's life, whether it is giving blood, whether it is building a food pack, and we introduce COVID into the food pack, whether it is feeding the homeless. Every single project that we do impacts on somebody's life. So we drill into our volunteers that we have to be excellent at what we do. And the volunteers expect that excellence from the public service and private sector and everybody else we interact with. And unfortunately, it's not something that I say very lightly. I don't think we have excellent service in the way of the way a lot of our public bodies are run. The communication is often very poor, but it's something that we know and understand is one of the challenges that we have to work with. And at the end of the day, that won't stop us, and those things don't deter us. That just makes us understand that one of the projects that we have to work on in building a nation through these social endeavors is to build strong individuals that will eventually get into those public services and change the country from inside out. So there's no easy fix for those things. It's just something that we have to do. We have to build strong people that will eventually become a prime minister, that will eventually become a permanent secretary, a strong person that will become a clerk on the floor, that will, when somebody come, and the elderly come in on a line, will see and identify that person and say, look, let me don't let that person wait for 5 hours, or let me just stay 15 minutes more and clear up this backlog before I go on lunch, rather than have 40 people wait for an hour and a half and then come back and then the computer not working. You know, these are little things that we expect, and the little excellence in service that we hope to bring through our volunteers that will permeate through the society eventually. The other big challenge is always funding. I mean, it's not unique to us, there's every NGO. While we do things on a voluntary basis, there are some things that just require money. We have been fortunate, very, very fortunate, that the public has been helping. The business community has definitely been coming out, and it's the reason why we're able to do so much. But there's more that we could do. There's more that we could engage. Just to make our lives easier, we are trying to organize a space for Sewa. Normally, we get the Diwali Nagar for free, but of course, if there are bookings for other things, you know, projects are dependent on the spaces that are available. If we are able to prepare our own space, you know, these are the things that would help us be more efficient and help us, you know, produce more dedicated volunteers. Other than that, every other challenge is a project that we see as something to overcome and use as part of the nation building process.
And as part of those projects, and they've constantly been evolving, I see that you all have been involved in blood donations, blood bank drives, and what is the ambition for looking at this one in particular, what is the ambition, what is the expectation, what are the goals?
So I'll talk about blood drives a little bit later, right? But you ask a real good question in the ambition, right? Every project, for the first 5 to 6 years, we were doing several projects that fall within a category. So when COTT was formed, we sat down as a group and we said, look, this is way back in 2013, that we need to do something to affect our country, to improve our country. What are the gaps? And when disaster happens, in our view, the response won't be good enough. What are the things that we could do to practice and prepare the nation so that when disaster happens, we could function and add to the state apparatus? Because we are not competing with the state. Our job is to add resources and add value to the state. So we started with blood drives fairly early. If there's a massive earthquake, right now we collect less than half the blood that we require on a normal basis. On a normal basis, doctors tell people that they need to get blood and they beg for blood for weeks, and that's the whole anxiety process. If we have a major incident, water shuts off, we'll have a water issue, we'll have a food issue, we have a clothing issue. Those are the, in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, these are the basic needs that people have. So we decided to design projects around this. And how can we use that to practice regularly, create a project out of it and help people? So for instance, flood happens, and one of the things that we require is safe cooked food. So how do we get volunteers to practice cooking food? So we develop a system where you could cook 60 to 100 meals. We worked out, we sat down, we documented 100 bread and cheese paste, 100 bread, 1 kilogram of cheese, 13 pimento if available, that's a secondary thing. No onions because it spoils faster. If you put celery, that's nice. A stick of butter, you want me to stick of butter and make it spreadable. All of that takes an hour and a half from the time you start to assemble the ingredients to putting it out. So people could, individuals could do that. You could make a pila. We work out 1 cup of rice feeds 4 people, and we work out all of those things. Then we started to practice. So what do? We just cook food and throw it away for practice? We found a homeless shelter. And every month, we have different volunteers who would cook for the homeless shelter as part of their practice for preparing. And then somebody who needs the food gets the food, right? Also, just thinking through this now, you figure out what type of food is appropriate. So you don't make soup. So soup is a go-to thing when there's flood and when there's certain disaster activity. See, what did you don't do soup? Because now you have to package that soup in a sealed container. Now, let me say the disaster somewhere is in San Fernando, which is a hilly region, and your car going up a hill that is 20-something degrees. And the angle of that soup, the soup sliding around the place, it'll be leaking. Those are the experience that you build by doing projects like this. So we've done that. We've done that. We've been practicing the blood donations. So regularly, we've been at 40-something blood drives now and put over 2,000 units of blood. We've been dealing with clothes drives. So we started just collecting clothes, sorting it out. Piece by piece, every year we buy 1,000 racks. Now, or sometimes 3,000 racks. Now we up to 15,000 racks. And in 2020, our clothes drive, in 2021, our clothes drive, we collected 25,000 pieces of clothes with an average of over $100. In 2022, we collected over 33,000 pieces of clothes. And we distributed 30,000 to 1,000 families, where we spread out the entire Nagar as a massive trade fair, where we built racks and then we put the hangers on them. And we did everything in such a dignified manner that people could have come. We looked for the vulnerable families. We worked through every single member of parliament, every single councillor, the Ministry of Social Development, the NGOs, the police, social welfare divisions, the fire services, in identifying all those people whose house were burned down over the last year or two and needed items. We went through that list and we pre-screened 1,000 people to make sure that, you know, this 1,000 people were necessary. We had Living Waters assist us with identifying migrants, you know, a certain number of migrants we allowed, because we had baby clothes and we had a number of things. And through that practice, the sorting and the arranging and dealing with these type of things, we were able to do over $6 million in clothes. And I'm saying $6 million, not likely. I mean, we didn't pay for it. Every single piece was donated. And the volunteers came for 30 days, day and night. They were going through every piece, looking at it. If it had a hole, put it aside. We use those rugs for the mechanics and the farmers. They would take those things and strip it and use it for the agriculture and wiping their hands, etc. But the practice of doing small things regularly allowed us to do big things. And this is the objective. We've identified certain areas, and we want to keep practicing. We want to keep doing things over and over and over. So when there's a natural disaster, and it don't necessarily need to be a natural disaster now, we could do a clothes drive every single year, disaster or not, and just redistribute the clothes, because clothes is something that people have good, they grow out of. 17%, a study was done in the landfill up in Arima, the Guayco, 17% of the items in the landfill were textiles, you know. So even part of our standard recycling and reuse program, just activities like this would help.
So, Mr. Tiloxing, you described projects that redound to the benefit of thousands of persons in the country and in society. And you know, this is something that when we consider we are operating in leaner times, how it is that Sewa Titi is still able to match the expectations, the ambitions, and the same output in leaner times. Now, we have to go to a break, but when we come back, we're going to discuss this and more with Mr. Tiloxing, who will also take the time to describe the ongoing blood drive and the blood bank efforts that they're making. So we look forward to that.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
We're back on Freedom 106.5 FM on the Pulse with Rajiv Dipti and Revan Tiloxing, president of Sewa Titi. And reminding our listeners that you can join us on the program. Your calls 627-3223, 625-2257, and your messages on WhatsApp 306-1065. Hello, good morning.
Good morning to all. I must say, I'm very proud of being a man who is in charge of this committee or whatever. And I admire these young people for trying to help the underprivileged. I have supported them, and they're doing a fantastic job. I'm also a member of the Indian Women's Group, and we try to help the underprivileged in whatever way we can. We try to raise funds, and recently we had a fundraiser, and we are going to be distributing the funds in some way. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you for your call. You two can join in, weigh in on the conversation as well. And our avenues for that, 627-3223, 625-2257. And your messages on WhatsApp, 306-1065. Rajiv?
Yeah, so, you know, as we're here with Mr. Tiloxing, I just want to give a brief of my own experience with their blood drive apparatus. I think it was at the Dumwali Nagar. It was a very pleasant experience. You come in, their volunteers and their personnel do the screening. It's a very simple process, all with all the instructions and signage very clear. They test your iron. They ask you questions about your lifestyle to determine the risks of any STD infections. They take your pressure. Then they stick you with a small needle and they take the blood. All of this is done in 5 minutes. Then they screen you for about 15 minutes while you rest. And Revan, please tell us, please tell the public, tell our listeners more about this.
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, right, we have been doing blood drives for a number of years. There's a serious problem that we have in Trinidad, right? We just do not have enough blood. And it's not something that we could replicate yet and you could clone and you could produce. That might come 20, 30 years from now. But the situation is right now, someone gets a heart attack. Someone gets in an accident and they need 5 units of blood, or a pregnant person with some complication needs to do a cesarean section. You need to have 2 units of blood on standby. And these type of activities use up almost 15,000 to 20,000 units of blood per year. And then you have the gunshots and the other things that use up a certain amount. Then you have planned and scheduled surgeries. Trinidad and Tobago needs between 40,000 and 50,000 units of blood every single year to make sure we have a good quality of service. Right now, we collect less than 20,000 units.
So that just means to be clear for our listeners, Mr. Tilak Singh, there, if you were to make a public request and a public service for the blood, there's a waiting list, there's a deficiency, just to be clear for our listeners.
Yeah. There is a deficiency and a low supply of blood. There are times when there are 5 or 6 units of blood available for the entire country, right? On some of the major hospitals, right? So we have serious problems with blood. Now, to the credit of the Ministry of Health, and particularly the minister that have been driving and showing some political will, they have refurbished all the blood banks. They have created an online system and they have increased capacity. But we still need the people to come and give the blood. So we have been having blood drives. We have been encouraging people to come and give. We need to get our citizens, we need to get 40,000 people to come and give. And starting, we are doing a plan. We're working out the entire marketing strategy. We are going to be raising funds and coming to we're going to be coming to Freedom and we're going to be coming to the Guardian.
You're
Media
most
Group.
Welcome, yeah.
And call us. Well, let's go back up on this, right? Your station has already agreed to assist us. We're going to do a massive PR campaign to let people know how easy it is and the requirement is. For decades, more than 50, 60 years, since our independence, we've been having a shortage of blood. Just imagine, on a Friday or Friday evening, your father get a heart attack or some close relative, and he need bypass surgery. And they're telling you, I don't have blood, anything. He need bypass surgery now. And you need to get 5 units of blood to save this man's life. This happens, eh? No, there's always, because organizations like us and, you know, there are so many other volunteer organizations, not just COTT, there's the UV Blood Donor Foundation, there's Sickle Cell Foundation, plenty of organizations that do blood drives in a voluntary manner so that there's some stock, but there's just not enough, right? For emergency cases like that, he probably will get the surgery now. But it comes at the expense of somebody else who's going to have to be postponed, who wasn't so urgent, and they're probably going to be postponed for another time if we don't have the blood in place. So the anxiety that comes with that, you now hearing that your father needs blood, right? And half the people you ask, they're going to either have the cold, which you can't give blood at that point in time, or they may have traveled to a certain restricted location, a malaria endemic country, that they had to wait a period of time, or their own anxiety, their blood pressure might be high. You know, these are the little things. So you may have to find 10 people to try to give 5. And at that time, it's just, you know, you don't want to have to deal with that additional stress or even have the man wait an additional day for his bypass surgery when the blood should be readily available.
Yeah.
So that is our goal. We won by 2024. We're able to collect 40,000 units of blood, and it's a real simple thing. It is just simply 3,300 units of blood a month, right? I mean, and the blood banks are open on an average of 25 days. So you're looking at 125 units per day. And we have 6 blood banks. You scale along that, it's just 20 to 30 people a day we need to give nationally. We could
campaign that you're describing, Mr. Tilak Singh. So can you tell us, do you do any of this with government funding, or is this just within the organization?
No, this is us doing this selflessly through ourselves. If the government wish to come on board, they will come on board. We have put forward the proposals. We have done everything that we need to do, but whether the government does it or not, we are doing it. The reality is our citizens are the ones that have to beg for blood and find the blood. So we are not dependent on the government. We are not dependent on any entity like that. The only thing that we need them for, and I must admit they have given us, is permissions to do the blood drive. They provide the nurses for all the blood drive, for all the blood drives, and they facilitate us. And what we are proposing to do is have the blood drives at the blood bank to make things more efficient. We already have the nurses there. We already have everything in place there. So we will come to San Fernando and do a blood drive in San Juan environments, do the PR and bring people and hopefully get the staff to come out on a weekend so that we could have the blood drive. Have one in Point Fortin. Take the mobile unit to Rio Claro and take the mobile unit to Mayaro. Have one in Sandy Grande Hospital. Take the mobile unit to Toco. We have Montauk, we have Port of Spain, we have Tobago. And if we have to do in Caparo and all those things, we could go with the mobile unit. So we are going to do a comprehensive plan. If we get our way, we'll do 108 blood drives in 1 year. If we get the requisite funding and PR, and because it is quite a massive task. It's nice to say we're going to do everything voluntary, but if we want to fix this, we need about 4 people full-time doing the PR to contact these 40,000 people, to remind them of their appointments, to follow up with them after and make sure that they're feeling okay, sure, which everybody feels okay. Make sure that they drink their water, etc. So we're going to have to hire a couple people. I am very confident that the public will support, and the businesses will support. So I definitely, if the government is unable to provide the funding for whatever reason, we don't need it.
Okay,
we'll do it.
Do you see the role of SEWA as augmenting those national efforts, perhaps by the Ministry of Health, to, let's just say, augment the national blood reserves in that capacity?
Yeah, so the role of SEWA is to produce good citizens in a way that correctly, that we augment these things. The government have the responsibility and citizens have a responsibility too, right? The government will run the hospitals and the blood banks and do all the screening and do all the testing of the blood. We don't do all of that. All that is paid for by the taxpayers and they do that. But we have to find a way to get the people to come out, and that's part of our responsibility. Even natural disasters, right? The UDPM could do what they have to do, and they have a mandate, and we as citizens also have a mandate to help ourselves and to not to be overly dependent. And once you find that we are functioning in a way, yes, we are taxpayers, and yes, the government have their responsibility, and they will perform the responsibility. There's another forum that people could determine whether they perform the responsibility or not. But it is equally important for citizens to engage in every aspect of society on our own, so that, you know, we could build people, we could build stronger people who will eventually go into government and eventually go into these ministries now, as clerks, as managers. I mean, it'll be so good if one day we see you in government, Rajiv, you know, fixing problems. Because you are in your short tenure as Supermarket Association president, you have fixed so many issues already. So this is what our hope and our ambition is.
Well, we're going to go to a short break now with our guest this morning, Mr. Tilak Singh, who's the president of SEWA TT. And when we come back, we're going to get into the calendar of activity for 2023 and some of their ambitions for this year.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
And we're back, Freedom 106.5 FM. We resume our discussions on the Pulse with Rajiv Dipti. Rajiv?
Yes, Govin, and we're chatting this morning with Mr. Tilak Singh, who's discussing his nation-building efforts, and there are so many of these social outreach initiatives that he's describing this morning. And I think we could go to the phone lines for a few calls and some opinions.
Yeah, definitely. So, of course, our studio numbers, our hotline number, 627-3223-625-2257, and, of course, your messages on WhatsApp, 306-1065. Hello, good morning.
Finally, good morning. I was waiting a long time when you said make the call, so I didn't get through. Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. Unfortunately, I fell ill.
Morning.
I fell ill just recently. I give blood maybe about 20 times already. I love to do that. I am O positive, and I love to do that whenever I see on the news or a little child or somebody need, I rush down to wherever, I don't know the person, and donate. But I fell ill recently, and so sad to say I'm 57 years, and I had to get 3 pints, and this was very difficult. And I had to, it cost me $6,000 to get 3 pints, and then I have to get 2 pints again. Unfortunately, I'm getting it this week coming in Monto by a friend. Somebody assisted me, and I, you know, it's unfortunate that all my life I give in, and then at this time now, I need it, and I have to scrabble all over, but things happen in life, you know, but I'm feeling better. So I just enjoying your time there because I love hearing things like this. And when I back on my feet, totally, I think I will continue to do what I have to do, continue to give that blood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your call. 627-323-625-2257.
Yeah, Governor, if I could just say a few words about Uncle there. I mean, Uncle is what you have as, you know, the true nation builders. You know, somebody who do something selflessly, but it shows you how sick the system is, right? And this is what we're trying to accomplish. Now, if we have that 40,000 people giving blood, when Uncle needed blood, he wouldn't have to try to find somebody because there will always be enough blood in the system. So we have this chit system now, right? And Uncle could give 20 units and have 20 chits in your hand. The reality is not like a bank account with money that could sit down there perpetually. Blood have a lifespan of 35 days, whole blood, and then it has to be discarded. Now, we don't discard it because we used it all before. But the reality is that even if you go and you give blood 20 times before and you need now, it just don't have it in the bank. It just don't exist. Right, so it's one of the reasons why we just have to do it.
So are you saying that we need an ongoing system where blood is continuously supplied for persons like the caller who said he was O positive and, you know, he had to wait. He had to wait until it became available and he had to ask a friend.
Yeah, so and that is exactly what we say. That 20,000 units of blood we collect now is replacement blood enough. So it means that just like Uncle needed blood, and he had to go, right? And he needed 3 units before and he need 5 now. He had to find somebody to give that blood. So those people coming in is to either replace blood that he is using or he is using. Because when we give the blood today, that blood takes a day or two to process. They have to go through the test, make sure you're not HIV positive, because you don't want to give somebody infected blood, right?
Sure.
And of course, they can test for every single thing. But having said that, that screening process and things takes place. So the blood that I give to a person who needs today will not necessarily get to them. So you need a continuous program, which is why I broke down the numbers. It works down to 125 units a day, or just 20-something units per blood bank per day. And we could do that. We could do that as a country. We could do that. We have 1.4 million people, of which almost 800,000 are eligible to give blood over the age of 18 and healthy. Enough to get blood. So out of 800,000 people, we just need 40,000 to give once, or and a few people to give twice. People like yourself, Rajiv, we will give 2-3 times per year. We will give to the limit, and we'll work it out. It's not a difficult challenge. We just need to inspire people to come and give and make it convenient to them.
Going across to you, Govin.
Yeah. It's a harrowing experience to hear from the caller in terms of, you know, giving so many times and still unable to get it there. And I understand the lifeline or the timeliness of it, as you're saying, Rival. But are there any other measures that are in place in terms of managing the blood? I know a lot of persons were concerned with the CHIT system and revising that and so on. What exactly is the status of that whole setup as it is right now.
So the ministry is doing the right thing and removing the CHIT system, but the entire system will collapse if you don't have enough blood. And the gap that is missing is trying to build up the supplies that you have here, 3,300 units a month. If we get that 3,300 units a month, the CHIT system don't even need to exist. Uncle shouldn't have to spend, actually, people don't know what Uncle did, and the people who facilitated that is illegal. You're not supposed to pay for blood. Because I don't blame Uncle at all. Eh? The man need the blood, and the system don't allow it. The system made him do something that is illegal, and that is not his fault. the man doing something to save his life and his family, right? But coming back, the system will collapse if we don't get enough people to come in, and we need to address that head on. Say what it is going to address that head on. We are working on our detailed plans that we're going to present to the public and present to the media. We're not going to drop this. We have been working on this since inception. We've gone to all the conferences hosted by the Ministry of Health. We've made our voices heard as vociferously. We've put all our recommendations in writing. So we have been doing everything that we needed to do, and we are given the commitment between 2023 and 2024. We are going to do everything in our power to solve this problem. This is a problem we have since independence. And as young professionals, as our experienced people, we are going to rally as much people as we can and just solve the problem. We will solve the problem.
Time for another phone. Another caller.
Definitely. Let's see who's on the line with us. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning. Gentlemen, I just want to ask you, okay, Mr. Stilepsen, your name is, I don't want to get it wrong, but the guy who's speaking here, are you affiliated with the Cyberwell organization? And the meals that you provided, were vegetarian meals or general food? I'll listen up here. Thank you. That's in case that I want to make a donation. All right?
Yeah, bye. Yeah. So to the caller, we are not part of the SAI organization formally, but we work with the SAI organization. So the SAI organization have their SEWA groups. Our actual name is SEWA, SEWA TT, but we work very well with every arm of the SAI organization. In fact, without them, a lot of the things we do will not be possible. A lot of the other organizations, so Temple, Mosque, Church, generally we do vegetarian meals, right? But in times of natural disaster, for instance, KFC provide meals to people who flooded out, we distribute it, you know. But if we have to buy something, all our food packages are vegetarian. And there are ways, there's not only religious consideration, but just really shelf life and foodstuff and efficiency, grains, protein and peas and beans, what you'll spend $8 on, peas and beans, right? You could feed 10 people when you make that bean and get the same calorie and protein content as some of the other things. And they'll just last for 2 years, right? So there's a lot of consideration we do in things like that, yeah?
So, Mr. Tiloxing, just for the benefit of our listeners, if they want to get to know the SEWA TT organization more, can they find you on the internet? Can they find you on Facebook? How can they, if they want to get in touch with you to get to donate for your projects?
So you could visit www.sewatt.org. So sewatt.org. Or you could look us up on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. Just type SEWA_TT or SEWA-TT because it differs between the two, but it's very simple. You'll find us on Instagram, on Facebook. And you could just call 333-SEWA or WhatsApp, actually, because we get so much calls there. It'd be better if you could WhatsApp 333-SEWA. If because we are all volunteers and different volunteers hold the phone, sometimes they may be at work and they don't answer the phone, they always return the call at the end of the day. So our volunteers are phenomenal, but after they come in from work, they spend an hour to 2 hours just returning calls and arranging things. So those are the ways that they could contact us. So you could also email admin@sewatt.com. I just want to put one thing that we do not do, and we get a lot of requests for, we just don't have the capacity to do it, is build homes. We do not do that. That is very resource intensive, and we just do not have the capacity to do that. So just be mindful of that with the requests.
So, you guys do quite a lot of work, and I think that's a fair request and a fair assertion to make. you know, as we're getting to the top of the hour now, can you give our listeners, before we have to sign off, an idea of the activities for 2023? Maybe they can find it on the website you send them to. Maybe they can find it on your social media. But give us a glimpse of the insight to the activities that's on the burner for 2023.
Right. So for Shivratri, Eid, and moving forward up to Christmas, we're going to be continuing the food pack distribution. And again, this is us practicing the logistics. We have identified the people who need, the people who have been flooded, etc. So any contribution you make towards us goes towards those events. We have to postpone the close drive event. We just didn't have the capacity, so we'll do that later on in the year. We apologize for that, but it is a very resource-intensive program, and we wanted to just focus on doing some of the other things that we needed to get done to keep the organization in good shape. We're going to launch this blood drive, this blood donation campaign. That is going to be the center of our focus for the next 18 months. And as I say, we will solve this program, this problem one way or the other. And we are going to be building a home for Sewa Titi. It's 10 years of active work and complete focus we have on people. We just need to retool the organization, and this is one of the tools that we require. It's going to be a fantastic project where the site that we are building is going to be one of the most robust sites. If there's a natural disaster in Trinidad, we don't have to worry about that building. That building is going to be where we'll have our command center, and we'll be able to serve the entire nation from there, you know, coordinating all the 1,000 volunteers that we have throughout Trinidad and Tobago. We need a space to coordinate all of them from, do continuous training, do first aid. That is where we're going to be doing those activities. One other thing that I want to talk about, and we didn't get a chance to, is diabetes, which is a major problem. Say what it is, looking at it, in 2025, we're going to come hard, just like we're going to work on blood donation from now to then. We are doing the preparatory work now. We have done hundreds of health fairs, screening thousands of people. And every time we go back to the area and we check their blood sugar, it is the same way. The blood sugar do improve, right? What we want to do is address this lifestyle disease as a lifestyle. It's not about popping pills. It's not about just telling you need to exercise. We have 50 dedicated volunteers that are taking their own time to become yoga teachers that are going to spread across the country. It's going to take us 2 years for each person to get certified. So that is happening now. We have 35 of them in train. We'll have 50 by 2025. And these people, we hope they're going to attach themselves to doctors. We're working out all the regulations and things now, that when we start to deal with the lifestyle disease, we could deal with it holistically. It's not going to be a replacement for Western medicine. It's going to be an addition to Western medicine, addressing the lifestyle such that we could really fix our problem. So if there's one thing I would like to leave your listeners with, is we only function because of you and your contribution. We are just a conduit for you to express the work that you want to see in the development, you want to see in the country. And I hope that, you know, we are doing what we can to really serve the nation as best as we can.
Well said, Rivan. And of course, well, that brings down the curtain on our discussions today. Rajiv had to just jump off, but we thank him, of course. And yourself and Rajiv, I know that you all have been doing an immense amount of work. The minute something happens, Sewa Titi is there, ready and willing to give assistance to the population. So thank you so much again to you and to your entire team for the good work that you do. And we look forward to partnering with you and these initiatives during the course of the program. So that was, of course, Rivan Tilaksingh, president of Sewa Titi. Have a good one, Rivan. All right, thanks again. So that wraps up, of course, On The Pulse. You could join us again next week, Wednesday, right here on Freedom 106.5 FM for another informative and uplifting edition with Rajiv Dipti and our various guests.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.